to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 16th, 2018.
Every Sunday, as part of our service, we confess our sins, and we confess both the things that we have done and the things that we have left undone. But I often think there should be another clause added to that confession, because when I look at my own life, it's not always so much the things I have done. Well, there's a lot left undone, I have to say that, but a lot of times what actually sticks in my mind and bothers my heart are not the things that I have done, but the things that I have said. And not the things I've left undone, but often the things I've left unsaid. Our words matter. Our words can be important, both positively and negatively. I was listening to a story on the radio yesterday coming home from church, and this was a program called The Moth, which is storytelling, but real-life storytelling from people's lives. And they had a stand-up comic named Tig Notaro who was telling a story that was not funny at all. Her whole profession is telling funny stories, but this was a serious story about something that happened to her in her life. And it was a story of when she had had a telephone call with her mother. She didn't get along with her stepfather and her mother, and she had a pretty big fight on the phone and then hung up, still mad at each other, and didn't talk to each other for quite some time. And some months later, she got a phone call from her stepfather, who never called her, so she knew it had to be something serious. And he said, "Your mother has fallen and had a traumatic brain injury." She said, "Can I talk to her?" And he said, "No, she's never going to talk again." And in fact, she died shortly thereafter. So the comic was saying, you know, this conversation is now the last conversation that we're able to have. And she was picturing her mother in heaven and saying, if her mother was granted the ability to come back and re-enter that conversation, if they were given that opportunity to revisit that conversation, you know what? There would no longer be an argument at all, would there? If you knew it was the last conversation you'd ever have, they couldn't even remember what they were fighting about, most likely. It was probably something, in the grand scheme of things, very trivial. The only thing you'd want to say in that redone conversation is, "I love you and I'm sorry." What else matters than "I love you and I'm sorry"? Our words matter. Our conversations are important, and we really know that. All of our lessons today are in one way or another about words and about conversations, all of them talking about communication and how important that communication is. In Isaiah, the suffering servant says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher to comfort the afflicted." I mean, it's this wonderful image of reassurance. To give a sense of comfort through words. What an image for a teacher. The best teachers know that it's not always so much the content, it's the relationship that matters. The content comes after the relationship. There's a saying from Maya Angelou that I really was resonating with this week, a famous quote of hers where she said, "I know from my own life," and I'm going to mangle this quote, but she said, "I know that it's not so much what I've said or what I've done that people remember, but they always remember how I made them feel." Right? It's not the words that we remember. It's not the actions. It's the emotion that gets conveyed through this conversation. We have in our epistle today from James, this absolute, you know, James is the epistle of let's get real. If you were to summarize James you got all this great theology in the New Testament, and then James comes along and says, can we be real? Faith without works is nothing. The proof is in the pudding. And he has this great riff on what it means to have a tongue. And he gets very graphic. He says, the tongue is a serpent full of poison. Isn't that great? Well, isn't that the opposite of great? I bet we've all felt that sting of a sharp tongue, haven't we? A time when we were just put in our place by a sharp word. And I bet if we're honest, we've also can point to times when we have done the same thing. The tongue is a very dangerous instrument. Our words can wound. Our words can harm. Our words can hurt. And we know that so well. James goes on to say, out of this same mouth of yours come blessing and cursing. The same mouth which is praising God is also blasting your neighbor or your child or your spouse or your coworker or whoever just happened to cut in front of you on the road as you were driving somewhere. Suddenly that mouth full of blessing, full of the praise of God, full of prayer is now a weapon. It's weaponized. Blessing and cursing. This gets lived out in the gospel story today, doesn't it? Here is Peter, impetuous Peter. Jesus is asking his disciples, who are people saying that I am? What's the buzz out there from this teaching and healing ministry? And they give him the whole answer. Some think you're the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Herod thought that. Herod was terrified about that, actually, because of his guilty conscience. Some think you're just a prophet. One of the other prophets of old come back. But who do you say that I am, says Jesus. And Peter jumps in with the right answer. You're the Messiah. Great. Ding, ding, ding. You win the prize. You got it right. Blessing. But then when Jesus goes on to explain what the Messiah is all about, Peter is horrified. No, 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 Jesus. You can't say that. And Jesus rebukes him. Peter, who blessed Jesus, now curses Jesus by not understanding the ministry that Jesus is called to. Blessing and cursing, getting it right, getting it wrong. I think we can all resonate with this. I think we can all get this idea. And I want to say that what gets in our way in communication, what often is our obstacle, is the very same thing that James is talking about, the very same thing that Peter is guilty of, and that is that we fail in our talking with people. We really fail to listen. An ancient Greek philosopher, and I've heard three different versions of this, so I don't know who the actual origin of this quote was, and again, I won't get the quote exactly right, but this ancient Greek philosopher said, you know, we have two ears and one mouth, and we ought to use them in that proportion. Two ears and one mouth. There's a connection that I think our scriptures are trying to help us make, a connection between listening and speaking. And the connection is this. We fail to communicate because we fail to listen. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, perhaps in a meeting or perhaps in a conversation where someone else is talking, and you are sort of listening to what they're saying, but 90% of your mind is crafting what you're going to say next. Have you ever had that happen? I'm ready to jump right in. So they finish, and you jump right in with what you're going to say, and you end up talking past each other, right? You end up not fully communicating because you're not on the same wavelength. Contrast that with those rare experiences when you've been talking, perhaps going through a hard time, and someone gave you the incredible gift of really deeply listening to you and hearing you. Not only listening to what you're saying, but understanding the nonverbal communication as well, the emotion, the feeling. Someone who was able to tune out the distractions for even a few minutes and deeply hear what you're saying and understand you as a person. There is no greater gift, I think, in our human relationships than those very rare moments when we are heard completely and fully and deeply. It's gotten harder and harder to do. We're talking past each other in brand new ways. We can text without any emotional content whatsoever. Even emojis don't always convey exactly the subtlety of what we're trying to get across. How often have we had our feelings hurt by a text or an email or an instant message that didn't quite come across the right way? How often have we wounded someone else's feelings in the same way? By talking past, by failing to connect. Technology can speed up communication, but it cannot deepen communication. For that, we need to use our ears more than our mouths and more than even our thumbs in communication. So how do we do this? How do we practice this kind of communication? How do we deeply listen? God has given us the ability to do this, but it's got to be our choice. We have to take the initiative and make time and space. And you can't do it all the time. Honestly, we're rushing around like crazy getting stuff done. We can't always take time in every situation to listen deeply, but when we can and do, how much greater is our relationship? And how much greater is our relationship with God if we can do the same thing? I'm sure I've quoted it before, but one of my favorite lines from Tony Campolo is his description of prayer, this great evangelical speaker and writer. He says, when we pray, we pick up the phone with God and we rattle on about all the stuff we want and we're worried about and we need, and then click, we hang up. Prayer has got to be a two-way street as well. In our relationship with God, we need to use our ears twice as much as we use our mouths, because God is desiring to communicate with us. God has given us ears and hearts and souls that are thirsty to receive the communication of God's love and mercy. And when we forget that, we actually reduce our ability to be able to communicate with others as well. So I have a little homework assignment for you. Sometime today, or this week sometime, and again, it can't be all the time, but I want you to practice this in a relationship that you have. Sometime, and you'll know when the moment is right. Practice this. Take the time to just try to tune out every other distraction. And when someone is speaking, give them the gift. Even if it's just for a minute, give them the gift of your full and undivided attention. And see what happens in that conversation and in that relationship. See what happens when you make space for God's grace to work in these holy moments of life. And then report back. Let us know how it went. What was it like to have that experience? Maybe you're a person that practices this all the time and you're like, oh yeah, that's just a normal day for me. But I got to tell you, it's not for me. I'm rushing, rushing, rushing. Take time just for a minute to deeply listen and see what happens. See how cursing can turn to blessing. See how God's grace and presence can be unlocked in these human relationships that are holy relationships because we are holy, because we are made in the image of the God who loves us and desires a relationship with us, a relationship of blessing, a relationship of love, a relationship of grace.